to the official podcast for St. Philip's Episcopal Church in Rochester, Michigan. You can learn more about our church at our website, stpfeeds.org. Our Sunday services are at 8 and 10 a.m., and all are welcome.
This podcast is the sermon for December 3rd, 2023. The first Sunday of Advent by the Reverend Eric Williams.
I always think at this time of year that coming to church can be like getting hit in the face with a cold glass of water. Here we are, we've just celebrated Thanksgiving, we're getting ready for Christmas, we're decorating, we're thinking about parties and gifts, and we come to church and what do we hear? It's the end of the world as we know it. The gospel of REM, right? It's the end of the world as we know it, and we don't always feel fine about that. It's kind of ominous and scary. Words like beware, keep awake, you don't know when he's coming. It's like that kind of picture of Santa Claus that I had as a kid. There's the wonderful part of Santa Claus, but there's something a little ominous too. You better watch out. You better not pout. You better not cry. I'm telling you why. He's watching all the time for you to mess up. He's got a list of naughty and nice, right? Something kind of ominous. And I feel the same way about Advent. We're looking for the end of the world, right? Advent is about Christmas, but it's also about the second coming. It's also about when God is going to wrap this whole thing up and bring about the end of the world as we know it and the reign of God in its fullness. That means a lot of change. That means cataclysms. The prophets talked about a day of deep darkness, right? The stars falling out of the sky. It's kind of scary. Now, I think there's basically two types of Christians. There's the type that loves that stuff, right? That gets really obsessed with like the Left Behind series and the end of the world and all that wonderful kind of real wrath of God type stuff from Ghostbusters, if you remember that, right? People get hooked on that, and they're always thinking about, okay, we better get ready. Every few years, some pastor or other seems to say, I've done the math. I know exactly when Jesus is coming. Sell all your possessions. Meet me on the mountaintop, and we'll be ready. And then all these people are up there waiting and waiting. We've been waiting for 2,000 years, right? So clearly that has its issues. Living too much in the future, too much obsessed with the end of the world, is not always healthy. It can cause us actually to not live very well in the present. We tend to look at the good guys and the bad guys, right? People who are obsessed with the end of the world tend to be pretty judgmental about those who don't see it their way, and that can lead to some issues. But there's another kind of Christian, and that's the kind that lives more in the past than the future, right? All the best stuff is in the past. We love, and Episcopalians, I gotta say, we tend to lean this way towards the past. We love our traditions. We love bringing out the Advent wreath, the blue vestments, or purple, depending on your church, singing those old Advent hymns. Now, if you're new to the Episcopal Church, these are not familiar to you, but trust me, for Episcopalians, these are the good old classics, right? We love our traditions, and sometimes we can get so caught up in the past, in nostalgia for the way things used to be, that again, we're not always doing such a good job of living in the present. The great scholar, Walter Brueggemann, I think one of the finest scholars of the Old Testament in our time, has written a number of books. One of them I really like because he talks about the message of the prophets for today. He's talking about Jeremiah and Isaiah and Ezekiel and all the great Old Testament prophets. And he said, really, they're offering us three words that we need to hold on to: reality, grief, and hope. The prophets hold up a mirror to the way things are, and it doesn't always look pretty. You know, in the morning when you first get up and you go to the bathroom and you look in the mirror and you think, that's not what I look like. Because in my mind, the picture of myself is when I'm about 28. And then I look in the mirror and that guy is gone. Maybe he's lurking there somewhere. But we have a kind of idealized vision of the past. And he says, no, the prophets help us to grapple with the difference between the way things are and the way we wish they were. Right? Don't you feel that? I hear that all the time from people. The world seems out of control. Things seem like they're in a mess, right? Because we look at wars and we look at the economy and we look at technology and we look at politics and we think, clearly this is not the best that we could do, right? So we need to grapple with reality. What does it look like? And we need to look realistically at the roots of those problems. Take, for example, the terrible conflict in Gaza, which has reignited this week after a brief ceasefire. Israelis retaliating for the horrific terrorist attack by Hamas, taking, basically raiding a party and stealing people and just doing abominations, right? Hamas is a horrible terrorist group, and now Israel is retaliating. And the reason for this is that Israel, in a way, and Hamas are stuck in the past. They're not able to envisage a future in which they can coexist peacefully. Israel is obsessed with security. They were formed after World War II as a fragile nation surrounded by enemies. Their number one issue is always protection and security. And when they feel threatened, like this attack by Hamas, they are going to retaliate. And so they do. And Hamas is desiring the extermination of Israel and is doing everything it can to bring about the Arab world ganging up and basically taking Israel out. That they're locked. This has been 60 years, 70 years of this conflict, and it's going nowhere. What's the end game, right? What is the future for Gaza after all this conflict? After everything is bombed, 80% of the people of Gaza, most of whom are not part of Hamas, 80% have had to leave their homes and flee. Think about that, 80%. Think about your community. Think about Rochester. If 80% of us had to just take a bag and go, where would we go? What would we do? What is the plan for bringing people back? What is the plan for rebuilding? There is no plan. There is just this unending conflict. That's what happens when we don't deal with the reality of our sinful condition. And it's true for us as people, as my doctor reminds me when I go to the doctor. I've had a lifetime of eating whatever I wanted, all the junk food in the world. And it worked okay through my 20s. Through my 30s, 40s, but now it's not working so well. And I have to grapple with the reality of a life of junk food and make difficult changes in my life. If I want a future, if I want a new story of health, I need to change. And it is the same for us on the global stage as well. That's what the prophets tell us. Deal with the reality. That's what repentance is about. That's what it means to look in the mirror and deal with the reality of our condition and ask for the roots and look at ways to bring about forgiveness, reconciliation, and atonement for those problems. There's a kind of grief about this. I gotta say, I'm kind of grieving French fries at the moment, you know? Love those French fries. I put a lot of salt on them. No, 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 says the doctor. No, no, no. No deep fried. No salt. There's a grief about that because change is hard. It means loss. We get so attached to the past, right? We love our traditions. We get kind of into this nostalgia, which can prevent us from change. It can prevent us from living more fully in the day that God has given us today. So both of these, I want to say, are issues. Living too much in the future, where we're obsessed with the end of the world, we don't care what happens. Living too much in the past can be a problem because we don't allow for a new story, for change, for reconciliation, for a way of forgiving the past and moving on. Letting go is so hard for us. What I believe Jesus invites us into is, and that's what I think, so here's my take on this keep awake thing. It doesn't mean take a lot of no-dos and stay up all night every night, right? That's not going to last. What keep awake means, I think, is wake up. Open your eyes and see that, and this sounds trite, but I think it's true, you only have one day, and that day is today. How are you going to live this day? This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. How are we going to live fully in this moment? Yes, recognizing and learning from the past and confronting the sins of the past and looking for ways to achieve reconciliation and forgiveness for those things. The harms that we have done, this is part of the 12 steps of AA that are so brilliant. Making amends for the things that we have done is a huge way of freeing us to live today without the burdens of guilt, shame, and fear from the past. And being free from the future. I know so many people who are exhausted all the time. You know why? Because it's exhausting to live in the future. Because there's a million different things. I don't know if you suffer from anxiety, but you think about all the things that can go wrong in the future, and you expend your whole energy on that, and there is nothing left for today. So instead, I invite us this Advent to think in a different way about where God is in our lives. Yes, we're remembering the wonderful birth of Jesus in Bethlehem, the wonderful nostalgia of Christmas. And yes, we are anticipating God's reign of justice and peace that will come about when all is fulfilled. But in the meantime, Jesus is here. Jesus is here right now. He's in our midst. He's in our neighbors. He's in the acts of love and mercy that we can commit to now. And if we can have that spirituality of today, if we can hold off nostalgia, hold off anxiety and fear, and truly rejoice in the abundant presence of God today, with all of its problems, with all of its issues, with all of its imperfections, can we see and know and feel the good news that God is being born in us today? So wake up, keep awake, rejoice, because our God and Savior has come, is coming, and is already here. Amen.